This is the Mindset Toolkit Podcast. The continual pursuit of improvement.
How's everybody going? My name is Selwyn, host of the Mindset Toolkit Podcast, and on this episode I'll be talking about the book Relentless by Tim Grover, where I'll be distilling down the concepts and main points that Grover raises in this great book. Thanks for joining me. It's a lucky coincidence that I read this book at the start of 2018, because this is probably the best book that I've read to kickstart a year and to kick yourself into gear. Grover has trained many number one sports players, mainly in the NBA, most notably Kobe Bryant, Michael Jordan, and Dwayne Wade. So this is a book with a lot of sports focus and sports analogies. However, it can and will be applicable to everyday life, no matter what industry or profession or what you want to do in your own personal life. I'll be breaking down the book into a three-part series, so tune in for the next couple of weeks to hear more about this great, great book. Grover breaks down the three types of people into coolers, closers, and cleaners. And these are the types of competitors that he's noticed in the book and breaks them down into different analysis and shows you what characteristics make up each type of person. Basically, a cooler is good, a closer is great, and a cleaner is unstoppable. And Relentless outlines the principles that allows Grover to coach and bring about not only number one champions in the sport, but number one players that compete for a long time. The point isn't to become number one in this book, it's to keep that number one position for the long run. So think of Michael Jordan, six times NBA champion, Kobe Bryant, Tiger Woods, these types of players who, yes, they were number one, but they did more than just become number one. They defined what it meant to be great in that sport. And what's great is that Grover keeps reiterating that anybody can become unstoppable. They can become a cleaner because you can create a drive that means you set a goal, and once achieved, you set another and another. Basically, you're relentlessly tough to continue over and over and over again. Being good is just the start. As he says in the book, you don't have to love the hard work. You just have to crave the end result. And the only difference between feedback and criticism is how you hear it. So Grover doesn't like to number his chapters because all of his chapters are equally important, as he says, but I'm going to go ahead and number them here. So the first chapter is don't think. Because a cleaner doesn't celebrate a championship win. A cleaner will put in more work once he has won, because he knows that winning is just the start. Because there's always something or someone right behind you waiting to overtake you. So there's always that drive to do more and more and more. They're their own biggest competition because they put that much pressure on themselves. They have to go for what's next, and then you go for even more. Being unstoppable means you place no limits on yourself. Why would you place limits on yourself? Because everyone else is going to place those limits on you. A cleaner already knows what they have to do to get to the top. Almost everybody knows the how to do something once they've set a goal, be it losing weight, earning a degree, getting a raise, and so on and so forth. It's this overthinking and non-action that stops people from getting there. Because it's like Tony Robbins says, knowledge is only potential power. Action is the true power. Because you do whatever it takes to get what you want, and you have an insatiable desire to always achieve more. Everything you need to be great is already inside you. It's just waiting for you to let go. Release those barriers you place on yourself. Most people are unable to act because they listen to everybody else. What you can't do, how to do things, what you should think, so on and so forth. And Grover outlines five simple steps. Decide, commit, act, succeed, and repeat. Success isn't the same as talent. There are countless people out there that are talented without being successful. It's almost a cliche, the unsuccessful talented person. But truly relentless people have a dark side that refuses to be taught to be good. And everybody has a dark side. And if you can harness it properly, it will drive you. Because Grover's all about embracing this dark side. And what this means is, you need to embrace that selfishness, your ego, in order to drive you further than you thought was possible. Because you never stoop down to anybody else's level. You only ever bring people up to your level. He reiterates this a lot with how the great NBA players used to play. They would never bring their game down to match a different team. They would always play hard. They would always play as best as they could. Because once you set that pattern up for excellence, you're always going to compete the exact same way. Even in training, they held their teammates to a higher standard, and it raised the level of excellence for the entire team. They didn't lower themselves to the team standards. Chapter 2, the cleaner you are, the dirtier you get. When a championship is on the line and you're a cleaner, you don't let anybody else lessen the load, and you don't hope for the best. You put yourself where you need to be and make every possible move, doing whatever it takes for victory. You place the weight on your own shoulders. It's all on you because you put yourself there. If you think old, you become old. Because in order to have what you really want, you have to be who you really are. The closer does what he's supposed to do and goes home a happy hero. If you want to be great, you deliver what's expected. If you want to be a legend, you deliver the unthinkable. And who else will deliver the unthinkable but you? You need to remove these barriers that you have in your mind and achieve what most people think is unachievable. It's not about talent, brains, or resources. It's about doing whatever it takes to get the results. It's about having resourcefulness. A cleaner's attitude is summed up in three words. I own this. They don't just perform a job, they reinvent it. You have to go the extra mile that nobody thought existed. And in order to become relentless, you have to have a new mindset where wins aren't the final step. Wins are just stepping stones because you need to get that next win. It's all about chasing that next goal after you've achieved the first goal. And they're called cleaners because they take responsibility for everything. When things don't go right, they don't blame others because they never relied on them in the first place. They just clean up the mess and move on. The cleaner isn't the first person you call in. He's the last. He's that in case of emergency person. When it's obvious nobody else can do the job, because a cleaner will break the rules when necessary, they remain calm and cool and collected, and most importantly, they get the job done. They're not overly emotional, and they only see situations and solutions. Failure is never an option to a cleaner, because a cleaner won't stop until he succeeds, no matter how long it takes. They'll die trying. And what this means is that they take a really long look at the situation. Just because I might have lost a game today doesn't mean I can't win again tomorrow, or I can't win the championship, or I can't win the next championship. It's about having that winning attitude that no matter how often you lose, you'll always find a way to win the next game, and the next game, and the next game after that. And cleaners always have a dark side, because that is what gets them to where they want. And it's also a lonely place because there's a lot of sacrifice and endurance in order to get to the top. The cleaner is addicted to the rush of success. A cleaner will alter their whole life to get it and it will never be enough. It's an addiction. Because once one victory is felt, it's just feeding the next victory. You don't necessarily love the process, but you definitely love the end results. And you'll do the necessary work in order to get the prize. And you're also never content. It's all about making sacrifices that make the end result worth it, because results are all that matters. Grover also stresses that it's important to know that it's impossible to be a cleaner at everything, because there's always an opportunity cost to your actions. If you're clean at one thing, you definitely have to give up being a cleaner at something else. As he said, you can't be a cleaner at business and be a cleaner at home. Something has to give, because there are only 24 hours in a day, and you need to dedicate those 20 hours to something, and by dedicating those 20 hours to something, you're ignoring something else. So know exactly what you're getting into before you want to take this endeavor, because it's all about sacrifice at the end of the day. All these people that are great for what they did aren't great for something else. Now just think about that. In order to become unforgettable and relentless and unstoppable, you're going to have to give up a lot of other things. You're going to have to sacrifice a lot. Success doesn't have a definition, because the bar keeps getting raised over the last one. And here's where Grover starts going in to three types of successful people. A cooler is careful and waits to see what the leader does and then goes. He's a mediator, not the decision maker. He's a setup guy and not the clutch player. A closer is the next level up. They can handle the pressure and does what you tell him to do. But he doesn't like the unexpected. He also prefers the rewards from success than the success itself. Grover frames it this way. A cooler will have an amazing game. A closer will have an amazing season. Cleaners will have an amazing life. And it's now that Grover goes over the 13 traits of a cleaner. And he funnily enough picks 13 to show it's not about luck. And in the book he numbers them all one because they're all equally important. So you need to push yourself harder when everyone else has had enough. You get into the zone, shut everyone else out, and control the uncontrollable. You know exactly who you are. You have a dark side that refuses to be taught to be good. You're not intimidated by pressure. You thrive on it. In an emergency, people look for you. You don't compete with anyone. You find your opponent's weakness and attack. You make decisions, not suggestions. You know the answer while everyone else is still asking questions. You don't love the work. You're addicted to the results. You'd rather be feared than liked. You trust very few people. You don't recognize failure. There's more than one way to get what you want. And finally, you don't celebrate your achievements because you always want more. Chapter 3. When you're a cleaner, you keep pushing yourself harder. You need to trust the voice inside and know you can truly achieve what you believe you can. Those who talk don't know, and those who know don't talk. You train like a pro by committing to work at the highest level of intensity at whatever it is you choose to do. This is about dedication to any endeavor. Doesn't matter what you choose, as long as you're dedicated. The ultimate power source is from the neck up, not the neck down. As they say, you can't train the body for excellence until the mind is trained. You'll never become relentless until your mind is relentless. They say it's always mind over matter. The mind is way more important than what the body can do. Your mind will want to quit when your body knows it can do more. Commitment, persistence, and heart are immeasurable, but these are the true drivers of greatness. You need to push past the apathy of laziness and fear today, because otherwise this will build up day after day and you won't believe in yourself. You need to do the work. This is also how you build self-confidence. When you do the work and do the things that you say you're going to do, you build confidence in yourself because you're doing what you said you would do. When you stop doing what you said you would do, you start losing confidence in yourself. And that's all self-confidence is, belief in your abilities. And when you don't do the work, you lose that belief in yourself. Because physical strength can only be developed once mental strength is there. The biggest barrier everyone has starts in their heads. It's not about how strong you are physically, it's about how strong you are mentally. Cleaners do the hardest things first just to show there's no task too big. And they crave the results so intensely that the work is irrelevant. You kind of forget that there's even work to do because that win is the most important thing. And why do you need to develop this mental toughness? Because you have to be able to finish stronger than you started. You don't stop halfway through. And this is where that toughness kicks in. The body is almost always physically able to continue, but the mind is what's going to quit first. We've all been there. We've all experienced this. We want to quit. But do we or don't we? That's when you know if you have mental toughness. Few people know their limits, and even fewer want to know where they are. Not too many people want to push out of that comfort zone, that little box that they stay in and train in and educate themselves in. Everyone stays comfortable. No one wants to push that boundary because there are no secrets or shortcuts to success. It's simple. Figure out where you are, determine where you want to go, create the list of actions needed to get there, and finally, and most importantly, do the work. It's simple, yet not many people do the hard work. Life's going to be uncomfortable. That's just inevitable. Life is uncomfortable. And you can either be uncomfortable because of hard work rather than being lazy. Would you prefer to be uncomfortable from doing hard work and have success? Or would you prefer to be uncomfortable because you didn't do the hard work and now you're living a life that you don't want? Chapter 4. When you're a cleaner, you get into the zone. Shut everything else out and control the uncontrollable. A cooler will get pumped up by the team. A closer will pump up the team. The cleaner will stay quiet, dark, and alone before the game and let it out on the field. When in the zone, the only emotion that exists is a quiet, cool anger that simmers. There's never open enrage. There's never open anger. It's like a quiet storm. You need to leave the drama and the chaos to the others because this is how you control time and your actions, because you become so focused on the task at hand when nothing can touch you. You have complete trust in yourself and your abilities. And Grover emphasizes that the zone comes from a place of darkness, a place that lights up your inner cold anger. And it's usually triggered, and most importantly, it's up to you to figure out what those buttons are. And you have to be able to press them when needed. Telling someone to focus and relax won't help. What they really need is someone to tell them what they're doing wrong so that they can fix it. It's that criticism that you can work on. I won't know that I'm doing something wrong unless someone tells me that I'm doing something wrong. Thinking kicks you out of the zone. You can only be in the zone by doing. It's you alone doing what you need to do. You need to go somewhere positive if you keep overthinking. Be cool and relaxed. Music can help, but not the hype-up music that people always talk of. It's classic tunes from your youth that relax you and bring you to a good place. It's about quieting the mind. It's kind of an ironic way for Grover to get people to go to the dark side by bringing them back to their youth in a happy place. However, it's funny because emotions make you weak in this regard. It's a fast way to get out of the zone because fear puts up walls to protect yourself and you can't go forward because of that mental barrier. Rage makes you lash out and you become irrational and impulsive. And jealousy shifts your attention to something other than what you're supposed to be doing. So it's kind of this, you need to control your emotions. You can't let your emotions control you, especially when you're on the sports field, business field, or wherever it is that you need to be that you're trying to be a cleaner at. Controlled anger, Grover says, is the only emotion that's helpful because you can restrain it and turn it into energy. It's never allowed to become destructive or out of control. And Grover mentions that it's a very fine line before you cross over into being emotional and losing focus. And Grover gets his athletes there through rigorous training because you have to practice the same way you would perform in a game situation. And what this does, it creates consistency in your body and mind. This way, when the pressure is on, it doesn't matter because you could ignore it all since you've trained for this moment like every other moment you've trained. He mentions players that try and quieten the crowd down, and he says they're not cleaners because they can't focus on what they need to do. They're too distracted by this external stimulus. Think of it like the apex of a roller coaster right before you drop. You know what's about to come, so do you scream out of control? There's a cool little analogy that Grover uses to point out why huge emotions are bad in game situations. Because anything that's too hot and that starts too hot is bound to cool down. So you have a fire, you put it out, and it cools down. And then he follows up with saying, like, how do you preserve food? And the best way to preserve food, your energy, is by cooling it down. Throw it in the fridge. What does that do? It makes it last longer. You don't need it right now. You need it to last for a game, a season, a lifetime. And when the pressure builds, you need to pull back deeper inside you because you're always the one in control of your actions and thoughts. Chapter 5. When you're a cleaner, you know exactly who you are. And this really cool shift in mindset. A cooler thinks about what he's supposed to do. A closer thinks, analyzes, and then acts. A clean doesn't think. He just knows. Grover talks about us all being born relentless. And then we're taught to relent. These examples are like a child that won't stop crying or screaming until they get what they want. Nobody stops a child from trying to walk. Even if they don't get it after 100 times. That's crazy. Just because the child doesn't walk doesn't mean they tell them to stop trying to walk. So why would you do that to your dreams and ambitions when you're an adult? It doesn't make any sense at all, does it? And then in school, we're always taught to be quiet, sit still, behave yourself, be good. We try to shut down all these natural instincts to be good, to control us, but that's exactly what we don't need. We weren't born to worry about what others think. To be concerned about how our goals and actions will affect other people. We just did what we needed to do at a young age. Yet, this blanket that puts over us, it stifles that greatness at a core level because we stop listening to that drive inside of us, that voice inside of us that tells us to go do something and don't stop till we get there. Because if you're good or great at what you do, what's stopping you from being the best? We all have self-doubts and turn something simple into something complex. But you need to believe in yourself and become relentless in becoming the best. Taming people teaches them to be lesser than what they could be. Because it puts a limit, and it's by starting putting this limit on people, it puts a limit on themselves. Kind of like how they train animals to not jump over a fence, or the big elephant that's tied to a little steel chain that they could easily break, but they were trained as a baby elephant to never break that chain. So they don't, even as a strong elephant that could easily break that chain. Because this chapter is about trusting your innate instincts about a situation. This is assuming that you've built up enough knowledge and skill in training to be able to rely on it. So if you threw someone onto the basketball court with no prior knowledge, you can't just tell them to go with their instinct. That's not what Grover talks about. This concept goes deeper than that. Because it requires you to become so skilled at what you do that you already know all the outcomes, plans of actions, and the know-how. Think about a master chess player. They analyze the game over and over and over again. One move can lead to a million iterations, but they know all these iterations. And it's in this knowledge that Grover talks about how you can become the best, because by knowing all the possible outcomes, you can control all the possible outcomes. You're an expert, both intellectually and physically. That's the first point. You have to train and educate over and over and over again. Because after this point, you can finally start to trust your instincts because you develop these instincts. This doesn't happen overnight. This takes years of dedicated practice. You have to train and learn over and over and over until it becomes instinctual and your body and mind know what to do reflectively. The actions become automatic. Think of a fighter or a boxer. They're not thinking, oh, I need to move my left foot to the right, step back, and then block this punch. No, things just happen at an instinctual and reactionary level. That's how great they are. And that's what you need to become at your chosen endeavor. An example that Grover gives is that if you're driving and the car in front of you slams on their brakes, you don't ask your passengers what to do. You don't have a meeting to discuss the pros and cons of every possible outcome. You slam your brakes so you steer out of the way because you know what to do. This analogy flows through to everything else in your life that you're seeking to be great at, because once you start overthinking and overanalyzing, you do yourself a disservice and you're no longer able to operate at your peak state. You hit the car in front of you because a cleaner acts in the moment. What separates them from other people is that they react. You have to trust your instincts and not rely on your opponent to set the tone of the game, because you can't be perfect in practice and blow the game. They have to be one and the same. You're perfect in practice and you're perfect in the game. Instinct and talent without technique makes you reckless. Grover acknowledges this. It's a continual process of learning and improving upon what you've already learned. The athletes that he's trained always trained as hard as they could. Every single training session that he had with them, they never stopped. Even though they won championships, multiple championships, they trained like they did at the end, like they did at the start, because they know that that's what it takes to become great. Lots of people start things, but very few people finish them. This is because they all lose trust in themselves, in the belief that they can even finish the task at hand. It's very sad, because everyone can always finish if they commit to it. It's what you do with your thoughts that define you. Coolers have the thought, then they need to talk about it with others for feedback and approval. Closers, the thought travels to his heart, where it gets slowed down by emotion. A cleaner's thoughts move straight to the gut, where instinct takes over and places it into immediate action. So that's all I have for today. So tune back over the next couple of weeks, where I'll go over the second and third parts of this book, kind of more of the same, building on that, kind of getting that relentless, unstoppable mindset, which I think everyone could use at the start of the year. Great book. Go out and read it, learn from it, and absorb it. And definitely use it. Shift your mindset. This has been Selwyn on the Mindset Toolkit podcast. Thanks for your time. And remember, what you learn today will serve you tomorrow. So go out and go get it.